morning cues, it's so much fun.
A very special show notes. Not that you're going to notice a difference, but we are broadcasted live for the last time in our studio.
Maybe there'll be a positive difference. And also, I'm here. I'm in person.
And 99 is here.
Yeah, I'm back.
She's back, baby.
There was a little bit of tinniness on my mic on the other side last time. I actually didn't mind the sound of it. Like, cause when it peaked, but otherwise I thought the microphone had like a nice timbre.
How come you didn't bring one of these? Just too heavy?
Too heavy.
Yeah.
And the other one is just a little guy on a stand.
Yeah.
These are big old fuckers.
How's one-on-one?
She's good. She's on the mend. Things are looking up.
Okay.
She's at a boot.
The boot?
Yeah.
What a
boot it. Yeah. So it'll be a recovery process, you know, a couple months, putting weight on it. But yeah, she just, you know, fucked her whole shit up.
Yeah.
I saw the x-ray. It was like her ankle was at like a 90 degree angle in the other way.
When you pushed her down the stairs, is that what you anticipated? Is that what you were going for?
No, I was hoping like a couple toes, you know, nothing that I would have to stay and take care of her for.
Yeah, that really blew back, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, really. I got my own. But I did see someone when I was there.
Didn't we say who you saw?
No, I don't think so.
Did we say it?
I think we said it internally.
Day job?
You did. And I didn't know what you were talking about because it was so out of context from what we do that I was like, I don't know. What did I do?
Oh, I said it. Okay. No, yeah. Day job.
And if I have said it, I feel like I would have remembered saying it here because it happened after we recorded last show notes. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell everybody who you saw.
Yeah. So I was in the grocery store and I'm, you know, doing my thing, checking out. It's like 9:30 on a Saturday, you know, living life at the Hannaford. And I just hear the cashier go, "Hey, Bernie." And I was like, and then, you know, it's like, okay, there are a lot of old men named Bernie.
Sure.
And then I hear, "Hey," and I'm like, it's the Bernie.
Price check on the broccoli.
It's the Bernie. And I was like, and I'm just like, my heart's racing. And so I was in the self-checkout and then she took him on like a regular register. And so I just stared at his back for a couple minutes and just watched him. And then I was like.
And he's solo, right? Is Jade
there
with him?
No, he was two young men.
Okay.
So I don't know, his little entourage.
All right. Were they bodyguards?
No, they were like.
Staff members?
20s, maybe my age.
Got it.
Or late 20s, early 30s, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
And then 99 went up to him and said, "Bernie, it's me."
Yeah.
From UNFTR.
I wish. I mean, look, I'm not going to bother him. I mean, if he was like next to me at self-checkout, I might have just been like, "Hi, Bernie," you know, like mustered up all of my strength. But I'm not going to accost him. You know, I feel like I'm trying to remember like in my mind's eye what he was buying. But I was just in shock. And then I sat in the car and I waited for him to come out to see if I could get a picture.
If you saw that he was buying adult diapers, would you divulge that on this show? It's breaking news.
I would tell you, but I wouldn't tell the audience.
Okay.
Yeah, but I also like wasn't really in good garb. I was wearing, it was like, went out my house clothes, just like, had like no bra on. So it wouldn't have been like my ideal like physique to see Bernie in, big sweats and a big sweatshirt. I'm just like, you know, what?
Is there a bad way to see Bernie?
No, I wasn't at like my peak.
Okay.
I was being anonymous.
I don't know what I would have said.
Honestly, I think that's why just like, "Hi, Bernie,"
oh,
like acknowledge, just like,
yeah,
you know, or yeah, like big fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, 3 days later, what does he do? He announces a podcast. So I said, what if
we could have been in a collab with him?
Or what if my sister never broke her ankle at all and I was actually there producing his podcast?
What about it? Yeah.
I mean, let rumors fly.
Do you have a UNFTR sticker on your car?
I do not.
So that wouldn't have been the inspiration.
No, but I do think he breathed the same air as me and was like,
podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah.
But my heart rate was like elevated for the rest of the night. I was just like high. Not actually. I mean, maybe afterwards. I don't remember what I did that day.
So
but.
I was watching a movie, I think, because I had shut my phone off and then I got your voicemail in the morning. I was like, God damn it. would have been amazing.
Yeah. I was like,
put me on speaker right now.
I was leaving the voicemail as I was walking him come out. So I was like, oh my God, he's going to okay, bye. I thought maybe I could get a picture. He was in a Subaru. I think I can divulge that without, you know.
In Vermont?
Yeah, of course. So it's not like we can find him. But
so
we did.
Aging liberal in Vermont was driving a Subaru.
He got into the passenger side.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the guys was driving.
Yeah.
And I was driving behind him.
Oh.
And I was like, make a left. But he made a right. So I could have followed him, but
so
I think that's unhinged.
That 101 lives in his town? Or was he just on a stop somewhere, do you think? I mean, grocery store. And she says, hi, Bernie. And in a familiar way, not like a fan way.
Yeah.
Is this where he lives?
No comment. Because it targets my sister's location a little bit more.
Mm, okay.
It's a big enough state. I know he's been, I'm trying to think of other places. My sister's never seen him, but like there's always some, you know, rumbling. People spotted him all over. I think he definitely lives roughly in the area.
Mm.
You know, maybe his office is there. You know, my head, I was like, they're pulling a late night and they needed snacks. Like, that's what I
love that he would have gone the with narrative. Them, though. I just think that's the best.
Yeah.
That's so Bernie.
He was wearing his coat from the mittens photo. Because I do have, I got like a...
It's cold up there, man.
A quick photo of his back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell it's him at all, but it's just a man in a coat, and I compared. So I went a little bit fangirl.
Okay.
But like respectfully.
Yeah, totally.
You know, at a distance.
Totally.
You know, didn't memorize his license plate or anything.
When he goes...
Like when he dies?
When he expires, I think it's going to be a real moment for the country.
Oh, yeah.
You know
I think
I mean?
It's going to be worse than when RBG died. Is that bad? I didn't mean to laugh, but...
No, I agree. I definitely agree.
Maybe less women will get tattoos of him. I honestly, maybe I will.
Hmm.
I'll get his mittens instead of the collar.
I mean, you got to wait till the very end. That much I know.
True.
From the Chomsky thing, right?
Even from RBG.
Yeah, she kind of fucked us on the way out.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
kind of tainted her legacy.
Also, yeah, and again, the law is not my strong suit, navigating Supreme Court decisions. I look at them very literally, but they're so layered. But I've read so much over the years of her. RBG's stances were way more conservative than people give it credit for. The actual decisions and some of the opinions that she's written and things that she's been involved with over the years. So, I wouldn't be, but I, again, in an important moment for women generally,
and
still iconic in that way. I could see myself getting a Bernie tattoo after he goes to make sure that nothing untoward comes out.
No, I
could have also seen myself getting a Chomsky tattoo, of course, you know.
No, you couldn't have.
Sure. I absolutely can.
Well,
I would have.
Divulge how many tattoos you have?
Yeah.
One that I know of?
Yeah, just one.
So I feel like that's a big leap from what you have to just get a Chomsky tattoo.
At some point, and I think once my kids are out, I'm going to start adding. And
are you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you waiting? You don't want your kids to see it?
It's more just a time management thing.
Okay.
You know, simply all of my time is taken up, and I really want to. I know what my next one's going
to
be.
You sure. Do? You have to tell me off mic.
100%.
Unless you are comfortable sharing on.
I know what my next three are going to be.
Is the one what I think it would be?
No.
Okay.
No.
And what I think it would be, like a big dildo.
Wow.
I got it?
You are so... You know me. I feel so seen right now.
Oh,
that's
sweet.
That is so... Thank you.
Can I tell you a story that just made me think of this?
And the, on the small of my back, so it looks like it's going straight into my ass.
Yeah. That's,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So when I said that, I pictured like a rainbow dildo.
Mm-hmm.
Because one time... My sister's friend, this is one of those like this person.
Quote unquote, your sister's friend.
Well, no. So it is my sister's friend.
Sure.
I'm not going to name him.
Okay.
He gave me an old PlayStation 2 because mine broke or something and they function as DVD players and I love Guitar Hero.
Okay.
So he gave me a PlayStation 2 because he's a boy. I'm not going to gender video games, so I apologize for that. He likes video games and he had the new system.
Okay.
So like. You know, go to college and I plug my PS2 in and there's already a DVD in there and it's blank. And I said to my roommate, I was like, should we turn it on? It's porn.
Mm.
And it's just like two women like licking a rainbow dildo.
Wow.
And I was like, I texted my sister and I was like, hey, and it was allegedly his roommates, which I do believe it might have been his roommates, and just a really, because I think he would have copped to it if it was his.
Can you give me sort of a timestamp? Give me
what year?
Yeah. Where are we?
2012. And who knows how long it was.
You returned it, because that would have been a meaningful. This is like pre.
No, there was Pornhub in 2012.
Yeah.
Pornhub's been around a long time. Porn online has been around a long time.
12, a dozen years ago?
This guy would have been a torrenty guy if he needed to get more porn, definitely. All right. I feel like when he was over 18, so I think he had no problem acquiring porn. He just happened to leave one. I think owning
it. My brother left one behind when he left the house.
On purpose? Like for you as like a rite of passage?
No, this thing was, he definitely forgot where he put it.
Oh, no.
It was so hidden.
VHS?
And I found it. And it was like the last century. So it was just a magazine.
Okay.
And, it was like, just like game changing for me. So you hold on to that shit. That stuff used to really mean something.
I gave mine to my male friends.
You did?
Said, look what I found. We put in the DVD player, laughed at it for 3 seconds, and then I was like, I don't want to see it anymore. Put it away. So I don't know. I'm sure they watched it.
It was the rainbow that turned you off?
It was just the two women. It's not my thing.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't find it disgusting.
Okay.
It was more like funny.
Yeah.
Like, wow. All right. But that when I pictured you getting a dildo tattoo, it was that specific one.
Cool.
Yeah. But I'm really excited by this tattoo news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your next one going to be?
I don't know. Maybe one of my dearly departed dog.
Okay.
Potentially.
Okay. Now, would you bring a photograph in? Or?
Yeah, I would find like a specific person to get to do it. My mom actually, what is her name? 100? Is she 100? Or can't remember what we named her. She just got a tattoo portrait of our dog. I was supposed to go with her when I was in Vermont.
Go mom.
But I wasn't able to. It's like her zillionth one.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was tatted.
Oh, yeah.
That's so badass.
Big time. She's got like essentially, it's not like a full sleeve because it's like multiple big portraits, but yeah. Let me see if I can find a picture of the.
Wow, that's so badass.
Yeah, she's a cool lady.
Yeah, apparently.
That's why like when I got mine, I was worried that she would think, I don't know, because I'm still her child. So I thought maybe she'd think I was like too young.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so excited that I was getting, that we were getting tattoos. That's her most.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like her whole.
It's substantial.
Yeah.
And cute.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a really good job.
Yeah, I did a lot of research to find a good art, like portrait artist.
Yeah, well done.
Yes, that's my dog. That's our remaining dog. Because like my dog was my baby, and like this dog is her baby,
you know,
like your soul dog. So she wanted to, I mean, she's still alive, but she got to have walk around with her every day.
My whole family was talking about what's going to happen when my dog goes. And I was like, why are we talking about this?
Got plenty of time left.
That's what I'm saying.
She's like six.
Like, stop. Just stop talking about it. But they were all saying that I'm going to have to be the one to go, you know?
Oh, like to the vet?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Well, she is your baby. So I think that would be the most important person for her to have there. Or you would take, do it at your house.
She's my wife, though. It drives me crazy. She is my baby. But she definitely loves my wife more.
I think it's just different.
No, it's everybody knows it.
Oh.
Yeah, she loves my wife more.
That's how this dog is with my dad. And my dad just pats her in the head, just like, you're a good dog. I like you. It's like all he says to her. You're a good dog. And my mom is like, feeds her and lets her out and, you know.
All the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about it.
Well, this is our last from this studio. So I think I mentioned in the newsletter that we're going to be, I don't think we'll have any disruption apart from having to do a rerun last week. I don't think we'll have much of a disruption if all goes according to plan and we get things set up. I can tell you, though, that it is going to sound a little different because we're going to have some soundproofing issues when we get there, and we're going to have to work on it and really figure it out. It's going to be a very live environment.
So you think louder than here?
Yeah, we're going to have to, not louder. There's the potential of it being louder, but only from inside, not outside. And then we're going to have to think about deadening the room a little bit.
Yeah, our person's going to have to shut up when we're recording.
We're just going to have to do it when
we need a muzzle them. We got a loud sneezer in the... Oh, no, it's a nose blower.
It's a nose blower. Yeah. It literally sounds like a foghorn. It's incredible. So we'll have to figure that out. But so it'll be from New Digs. We're really excited about it. I'm really excited about it. This is sort of a dream come true. And it has less to do with UNFTR and more to do with our day jobs. But we're kind of putting it all together and making the best of it. And I think it's going to be a really cool setup. So you'll be able to see it when we start filming in the new studio. But as far as the sound quality goes, again, bear with us as we kind of work through that.
Are your pineapples coming?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Got to bring the pineapple lights. The only, I think, news for members coming up is that for Comrade and above members, we have our next monthly hang planned. So it was supposed to be in March, but because it's happening during the move, we pushed it out to the first week of April. So Thursday, April 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern time will be the next monthly hang. And we have a very special guest attending that hang. Can't wait for the members to meet the person.
Should we?
Nope.
Why?
Nope. We're going to talk about it afterwards. And
well, don't we want to incentivize people?
It's a surprise guest. I'd rather have people be surprised when they come in.
Okay. So, if you say so.
But that being said, we are coming on the beginning of spring. So you're going to be hearing us talk about
allergies.
And new members. So I will level with everybody. Still as committed to this as ever, as committed as I've ever been to growing it, growing our network, incorporating more of those phone friends, which I feel like are really important to help us expand our base and our network and our friends and also bring more people into the fold on UNFTR.com. So that's a big part of the plan as well. But we definitely need to drive some new memberships. That is going to be absolutely critical to help us cover the expanded costs of doing all the things that we're doing right now. So we've got not one, but two weekly newsletters going out. One is for members only, but the other is free to the public. And the free signups are through the roof still, and we're very appreciative of that. And that is wonderful. We've obviously got the show itself. We've got show notes. We've got YouTube and this website that we are pouring all of our love into. And the website is really such a spectacular resource, and it's growing really nicely. And it just takes a lot to feed the beast here. We're trying to build something that is way bigger than ourselves and way bigger than the show while maintaining the core of the show and the heart and soul of it as best we can. And that just requires memberships, because it's going to be hard to find people that want to sponsor something called Unfucking the Republic. So self-inflicted wound, sure. At the same time, there aren't a whole bunch of brands and products and things out there that I would even necessarily want to shill for.
People sponsor Call Her Daddy. I mean, like...
But there's a different integrity line there. Well, we can say the sponsors out loud that we'll never have, like the Better Helps of the world. And
we don't want them.
That's what I'm saying. Like the universe of the podcast advertising universe.
I think
there's a lot of shit bags out there.
If we went for it, I think we could get sponsors of those people.
Well, I still need people to start the campaign writing over to the people at Writers Tears. So,
I mean, I can just start the campaign and send an email and be like, hey, will you sponsor us?
Yeah, but don't you think it would be cool if a whole bunch of unfuckers were like, you need to sponsor the show because they love you.
Yeah, make a change.org petition.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And, I mean, listen, it's in the words of one of our theme songs from Hold Fast. Yeah.
So grab a seat and pour yourself a glass of Writer's Tears. Unfucking the Republic is about to begin.
So apparently the Hold Fast rehearsal sessions are even like more fun than the gigs. And they've invited us down to go like hang at one of their rehearsals.
We should go.
How much fun?
It's like not that far from us.
It's not. So once we're
You're
settled,
driving.
I think that, yeah, I'll okay. drive.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. I think we need to do that. I don't know if we can.
I'll wear a mask.
No, who else would meet us there? But if we do something, because it's striking distance, I know that the first show that we're ever going to do on the road, I will say forever, always and forever, will be in Nettie territory, and we will do that out in Wisco, and it'll probably be at McFleshman's. But there's nothing stopping us from going and just hanging out with the Hold Fast crew, right? And getting a few unfuckers together? No? Come on.
Well, there has to be like everyone. We need to get those phone lockbox things so no one can take a photo of me. Not that I'm a hot commodity or anything, but I.
We could set the rules down. Set the rules down for sure.
You can take a picture of like the back of my head, and that's about it. I'll give you a strand of hair as a souvenir, but okay. Not a photo.
You have them to give. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I rip them out for fun sometimes, and I just look how curly they are.
So yeah, it's spring. We need more members. I mean, that's the bottom line. We need way more members. We actually have to triple the membership of the show. I know that sounds egregious, but it's actually not that crazy.
No, I think we need to like five-tuple it. I don't know what
we need to quintuple it. Is that triple it, quadruple it, quintuple it?
Okay.
Right?
I think so. I get confused.
You know, I don't math.
Five-tuple is what I said.
We got a five-tuple this thing.
What is that voice?
So, I don't know.
Scary.
So, yeah. Will you do that for us? Will you make that happen? If you're a longtime listener, will you commit to helping us out?
If you are, what is stopping you from taking out a membership? Let me know. Like, if there's something you would want to see, if it's that X amount of money is too much, like, tell me what would incentivize you to become a member, and I'll see if I can accomplish it.
Well, let's talk about what you get with it really quickly.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because just at the curious level, at the $5 a month level, you do get the premium newsletter that comes out every Tuesday, and that is done in collaboration with the Newsbeat team, and it's really good. You get a UNFTR sticker, you get a shout out in show notes, and you get early notice of merch and coffee and any discounts that we send out there. There's some good value right there, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a $5 a month member for Last Podcast on the Left.
There you go.
And they announced their tour to patrons first, and I'm sitting in like the third row.
That's
when they
awesome.
Come to town.
That's very
so cool. If we do that one day, that could be you sitting in the third row with your phone in a lockbox.
At the comrade level, $10 per month, you get the premium newsletter. But you also get access to the new monthly hang with Max and Friends.
It's fun. We had a good time last month.
And then, of course, the UNFTR sticker, shout out and show notes, early notice of merch and discounts and all that kind of stuff. Now, it does get a little pricey and bananas at the professional level and the overcaffeinated level. And I get it. And that is not for the faint of heart. We don't need all that many of those. And we have a few people that really...
we need a ton.
That are at that level.
No. Tons.
We need tons of you.
Tons.
We need tons of you. But if you think about this... The professional level includes a sticker subscription, which is super, super fucking cool. Did people post their stickers, by the way, on
social
media?
We did. We had some people post in the Unfuckers at All. It was a sort of a UNFTR introductory sticker pack with like an FMF, the no Milton sign, and I'm gonna fucker, what's your excuse? List some fun ones. And these are good high quality. I know people have.
They really are.
I've said so. Like our first stickers, we did those oval ones. If anyone remembers, way back when, and I know people have been clamoring for quality like that can last outdoors. And these have like a good like a 3 to 5 year outdoor guarantee with these stickers. They're like a nice vinyl base.
Yeah. So the next subscription's coming out soon, right?
Yes. It might be also a little late because of the move, because all my stuff's packed away.
Yeah.
So it'll come with a oopsie. I'm sorry.
But I got a preview of it, and it's going to be super cool.
Yes.
Super cool. And then, of course, at the overcaffeinated member, you get all of those things, including the sticker subscription that comes out on a monthly basis. You get invited to the hang, but you also get listed as a sponsor on every one of the main unfuckings that we do, and that includes online as well on the YouTubes. So,
and that's in perpetuity, you know, those aren't going away.
That's right. So really tons of value that comes along with it. And so again, we need your support to keep on keeping on. I will shut up about it now. I also just want to give you a quick preview of the weekend and then what's happening with the Over the Borderline series before we get into feedback. On the Over the Borderline series, we do have a couple of interviews lined up. It's just once again, with the move, difficult for me to set those in stone in the transition period. So we've got them set up for after the move so that I can work through any of the kinks that we might have and then get it going. But we have a couple of really, really quality interviews lined up to help us tell the story. So again, the Over the Borderline series, because it is breaking, because it is evolving, because it is ever changing, and because it's mostly involves an area of the world that we cannot claim authentic expertise. It's not happening here. Some people think it's just all about us, but it's really a Latin American and Caribbean story that we're trying to tell. What we're doing is crafting an introduction like a classic episode, and then we're pairing it with a phone a friend with somebody who's an expert in the region. So that's why it's taking a little bit longer to pull that series off. In the meantime, of course, we had Project 2025 that came out. We got some really good feedback on that, and we just finally got it up on YouTube as well. So we're getting some nice feedback there. And this weekend coming up, we're going to do a small story about Trump's access to capital. I think it's a really important story to be able to tell, and it dovetails nicely. The reason that 99 chose to flash back to corporate irresponsibility is because we want to remind people that in the silly season, in the election season, it's important to remember who the real villains are in this story. We're going to be talking a lot about politics going forward, but behind the political veil is always the people that are holding the purse strings. The corporations, the think tanks, the whole system that's designed to control the purse strings of Congress and your elected officials in your state and even down to your local counties. These are the people that are really driving things, and corporate America gets such a pass on their bullshit that we wanted to revitalize that story as a full series. So the great many of the faces, put them together so it's one seamless episode. It'll be up online under the series tab, which is just below the fold on the website. So you'll be able to see it there and be able to access that information all in one spot. And this weekend, we're going to be talking about SPACs. So this is the special designation.
The Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
One of my favorite places. I told you my story about Steely Dan.
I don't think you have.
Back in the day. No?
Is it when I mispronounced the name of the album and someone yelled at me? And now I don't know which way to pronounce it. Sometimes it haunts me.
Oh, dear.
A-J-A.
Aja?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Like, I've been saying it in my head, and then someone was like, shouldn't even know how to say it right. And I was like, oh.
I knew a kid named Aja, A-J-A, Aja.
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think, I don't know which one I said.
What did you say? Oh.
Aja?
What do you want to say in your head?
Aja, maybe? Aja? But it might be Asia.
Okay.
Like, the word Asia,
right.
Or the country, or the continent.
Yep, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got there.
Mm-hmm.
The city. But is that one what, or have we just talked about a Steely Dan more than once?
I don't know.
What's your story in three words or less?
I was fucked.
Oh, rainbows?
No dildos
okay.
involved, yeah.
Okay.
My buddy and I polished off a bottle of Southern Comfort before the show.
Oh, no, sweet boy.
And, which is disgusting.
Yeah, no,
first of all.
Not interested.
And I was so polluted going into it. Also, we didn't have tickets.
Okay.
And so we tried walking in backwards first, right? It's that old trick where you walk into the movie theater backwards when the crowd's coming out. So you look like you blend with the crowd if you glance over, but you're just sneaking into the movie theater. So we tried
this
that.
I've never heard this in my life.
Got thrown out, obviously. Then scaled the fence, got in. And for some reason, because I thought people were chasing me, I laid on this family's blanket with them, and I'm blind drunk. I am so fucking hammered. And they're like, can you please leave? And for some reason in my demented drunk mind, it made sense to me to leave them my wallet to tell them that I was a good person. I was like, look, you here, you can even have my wallet. They're like, we don't want your wallet. We want you to leave. I was like, no, you have it. I'll be back. I have to go find my friend, but just so you know, I'm not an asshole here. And I gave them my fucking wallet for no reason. Then I found my friend who was also climbing the fence, but he was so hammered by this time. He couldn't really, let's just say, he wasn't as dexterous as he needed to be to get over. So he got near the top, and then other people started climbing the fence as well. And the whole
Altamont
fell backwards, and he fell backwards
no.
on his back outside of it. And I was like, oh shit, he's out cold, and I got it, and he's on the other side. And I was like, holy shit, I got to go get him. Oh, fuck, I left my wallet with somebody. And then I couldn't find the people that I left my wallet with for like a good 20 minutes.
Oh, but you got it back?
I finally found them. They gave me the wallet back. They're like, please leave us alone. I was like, it's okay, I found my friend. And I run outside. He is passed out with puke all over him leaning up against the fence by this point.
He's lucky he didn't choke on his vomit.
Oh, it was just a disaster. So we never saw the show.
Or did you?
No. No, we were the show.
This was before they went on?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, they could have been playing the whole fucking time. I have no idea. But it was an absolute disaster.
I don't want to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah. And your friend's like, that's probably what happened. God. Wow. Well, that's
one of the worst hangovers I've ever had. A bottle of Southern Comfort. I didn't even know what we were thinking.
That's the thing. You weren't.
We weren't.
Like, that's the dumbest thing.
So dumb.
But that's so something my friends would do. Like, I give my wallet away because, like,
I just needed them to know I was a good guy.
I totally see it. Yeah. So.
So not that spec. We'll be talking about it's a special type of company that is just for billionaires to fuck around with and go public. So we're going to talk a lot about that this weekend. Talk about how Trump accesses capital and how he just continually seems to get away with shit. But I think it's really important for people to understand the nature of SPACs and why it is yet just another toxic Wall Street invention to make silly billionaires more money.
I'm trying to think what story prominently featured SPACs. Like, what? I was reading a book.
I want to say Jay-Z was like when it really hit the big time, because they were talking about there was a bunch of artists that got involved with SPACs about 3-4 years ago when they first hit like the public imagination. They've been around for a while.
I know. I'm just trying to think what in my zeitgeist. I was reading, like, I can't remember. This is a pointless story now, but I wish I could. Because I was, like, kind of loosely fascinated by them. Because they
seemed like they were going to be the next big thing for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was around Bitcoin going out of control and then these SPACs. And it was like, this is just Wall Street cowboys doing their thing. And it's going to, like, revolutionize the way the companies go public. It's going to cut out the middleman. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all fucking bullshit.
See, now that's some bullshit.
Anyway, let's get into some feedback here and get after it. The first one comes from Linda P., who says, thanks for all the useful info. Can you please explain a couple of financial items more completely? How does the Truth Social SPAC increase Trump's net worth by $3
billion? Now four. Right?
There you go. It just went public. And also explain how the structure can be used to donate to Trump through a salary, but have the, quote, investment treated as a tax write-off if the value of Truth Social goes down. So, Linda P., my answer to you will be forthcoming this weekend, and I thank you for the prompt.
And then William S. said, hey, lay off Biden. You want to have the maniac Trump for president? Biden is doing a great job. The country is progressing. Trump will send us back 100 years. Time to talk Biden up. Whatever you think, we are much better off with him than Trump. So, to that, I say, listen to the Don't Sweat the Election episode we did. We've definitely litigated and relitigated and relitigated it a million times, but we still get this feedback. So I feel like it's important to, because if someone's behind, I mean, maybe they won't hear this until, I don't know, but you get it. Just
yeah. And then follow it up with Project 2025, where we talk specifically about why the next Trump turn would be an unmitigated disaster for so many people in this country.
Yeah, and head over to Facebook. I think there is an active thread in the Unfuckers group about this. Yeah, someone else, I didn't put it in, but someone else was like, Max hates Biden. I'm so sick of it. And some people were like, shut up. And a couple other people were like, agree. So go put your hat in the ring.
Okay, I'll get in there.
Not you.
Oh.
This person.
Yeah, do it.
That's why we loosely were, we have a loose hold on the, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do.
Like, is there a word or phrase you're like?
We're sort of like, when it comes to our Facebook at all group, we're just think of us as like the Elon Musk to Twitter. To
sure,
X,
sort
right?
of. Honestly, not a terrible metaphor.
Yeah.
Or did you use like or as? Was it a simile? I think it was a metaphor.
I don't know the difference.
Simile uses like or as. So Max is to Elon Musk as Facebook is to Twitter.
That's so simile.
Okay, so Anigo C said, P.S. I had a weird dream the other day. In it, I got a text from 99, which just said, hey. And that was it. I was so confused in that dream that I woke up, LOL.
I think the question here, Anigo, is why didn't you respond? She's still waiting for the response.
I am. And honestly, you're welcome for waking you up.
Yeah.
Maybe I was like your guardian angel that morning. You were going to be late to work. And you were like,
right? That totally could be, you know.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I don't know if I do, but.
Thank you for doing that then.
You're welcome.
Okay. Carrie M. said, pass this on to Tom, please. Two parody ideas. Let It Go with the opening line, do you want to buy a president? Do you want to buy a president? Or something similar. Also, maybe a version of Love for Sale, Documents for Sale, Eric for Sale, could be all sorts of things. And as someone who used to actually do Gilbert and Sullivan, I adore his modern major general, of course, with actual love from a UNFTR fan, Carrie. All right, we'll pass that along, Carrie. Appreciate
I will.
You.
I do. I always want to make sure you get your dues. Max does write those.
I do.
Tom is the musical genius.
He is.
But Max is the writing genius. Tom, you know, again, he's blowing up. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to have access to Tom anymore.
I don't think so either.
I think he's passed us by.
But
good for him.
He did post. He posted a video where it looked like John Mayer duetted his video. And it was like, I was like so excited for him. I sent it to a few people. But then he posted in the story. He was like, no, I edited something that he actually duetted and made it seem like that he duetted me. So it was pretty funny.
That's clever.
Yeah.
That's clever. Is he on tour still?
I don't know. If they are, it's probably coming close to an end.
The Wolves of Glendale.
I do genuinely recommend seeing them. It was hilarious. They do a version of Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet, where, you know, it goes like 1, 2, 3. So, and then he just goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And my roommate thinks it's the funniest thing on earth. So we got a private room at a karaoke bar for her birthday. And I put Jet on and we did the Wolves of Glendale version.
I love it.
For karaoke. So I'm a genuine fan of their band after seeing them.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, we have a message from Pastor Tim that said, I'm so gonna fucking miss Earl the Pearl, my congressman. I'm not at all impressed with the folks running for his seat, including Pramila's sister Sushila, who I'm supporting for want of someone better. We need more folks with a bullheaded courage on our side to counter the bullheaded corruption and depravity of the extreme ends of the right. The center will not pull itself to the right, but the Tea Party and its inheritors have proven that you can drag an entire party in one direction if you just decide to do it.
Yeah, we're gonna miss you, Bloomy. We really are. Earl the Pearl. It's funny how we sort of adopted him early on.
Yeah.
It's one of our little favorites.
Maybe for your next tattoo, what if you get like a sleeve of like progressive icons?
I have to wait for them to die. Just in case.
A lot of them are dead.
Fucked up.
Like you can get like an Emma Goldman tattoo now.
Yeah.
You know.
I would do Rosa. I'm obsessed with Bloody Rosa. Hmm. She's the one.
Well, you can get her. It's a sleeve. You've got plenty of room.
You're right.
You can find their signatures online and get those tattooed.
That's cool.
You'd be like a little arm.
That's cool. I would get... Oh, no, I don't want to say it because I want it to be the only sticker in the May sticker pack.
You just want one sticker? We can't.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
You just want one giant sticker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No?
I mean, we can.
Okay, cool.
We could just also make those.
Oh, yeah.
As stickers and then do something else.
You know, okay. Yeah. Actually.
Cinco de Mayo theme?
No, for May. Well, maybe we should do something. What is May? No.
It's a month.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We should. You know what we should do for September? We should do something labor themed. Yeah, maybe May will work out to do the single sticker idea. So I don't want to say it now.
I was thinking today that we should sit down, and I'm saying it on the mic, so we have to do it. Once we get to the new office, mm-hmm. and then we can go to our new fun place.
Yeah.
And we can brainstorm and map out the whole year of stickers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. We can make it like a fun date.
Okay, fun.
This is how I get, I coerce him into things, because now I have all you people to back me up. You people.
I'll use... Knudsen said, I did an episode of the Kosh podcast with Timber Smith. Focuses on the people of and around my hometown of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It's a nice long dive into who I am with a focus of local voters getting to know me before the election. Wishing you all the luck in the world on this election, Knudsen. We'll put a link up in show notes so people can get a listen to the great Bob Knudsen.
And he had a fun poll quote about, he was like yelling about his past employer. And he was like, do you think if I'm... keep saying these great things, they'll hire me back. And I was like, yeah, down with the man. And then we got over on Instagram, Andrew has a book recommendation, Humankind, A Hopeful History, written by Rutger Bregman. And they started this morning. This was a couple weeks ago, and I promised I'd include it, and I forgot. So sorry, Andrew. And it's been blowing my mind all day. It's an analysis of human nature a la Hobbes v. Rousseau. Bregman sides with Rousseau and argues that humans are innately good, and it is the trappings of civilization that are responsible for all the world's ills.
Fun.
Yeah, so I already put that in the Unfucker Book Love list on our bookshop, but I'll put a link in show notes too.
And let's stick that in the, because I'm stuck on the books that I've been putting in there already, still going through them. Maybe we'll put that as our book recommendation for this week.
Sure.
Courtesy of Andrew. Now, over on YouTube, we got a little bit of Project 2025 feedback. First is from Robert W., who said, "Well done. Missed the addition of the Council for National Policy, which broke off in 1981 and forced these items through Congress using illegal activity and foreign partnerships. I am not familiar with the Council for National Policy. I love this community." Thank you for sending that, Robert, and I will look into it. While we're talking about Project 2025, Zeet said, "Manning with time. Republicans with time scares me to death, but Biden has time too. Joe needs to explain the border crisis in a way that can provide some measure of assurance that the, quote, crisis is being truly addressed. This one thing is used as the dominant battle cry by my Republican friends. The economy and gas price rhetoric has died down a little bit, but the border crisis has, in my opinion, risen to be the top Republican weapon. I'm interested to see what happened." So the Fed is committed to, I think they said, two or maybe even still three more rate cuts. I do think that barring any sort of, well, who the fuck knows with gas prices, but if gas prices stay rational and the interest rates come down and inflation continues to normalize, it's possible that a lot of the stuff that we've been saying all along that Biden is waiting for to work through the real economy will start to impact people a little bit more. I don't think it's really going to be in time. Personally, that really scares me, that it's not going to impact the real economy enough for people to feel it in their pocketbooks when they head to the polls or, you know, by the end of the summer. And so it's interesting to see which narratives really take hold among the Republicans. Israel-Palestine is still the third rail for the Republicans. There's almost no reason for them to address it. While the Democrats, because they're in charge, they get to blow it. I don't understand the Republican calculus on Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family and their insistence that there's something there. I just think it's so silly. I don't think people are buying it. Like, I legitimately don't think that people are buying it. I think they think, they might say, oh, Biden's corrupt, but they don't say it with a straight face thinking that their guy's less corrupt. So that's not a winner. I don't understand why the Democrats aren't just only fucking talking about abortion, especially since the Republicans have committed it to writing and in their speeches and among all of their policy groups that they want to pass a federal ban on abortion. That should be the leading statement, the middle statement, and the closing argument for this election from the Democrats, because there's not much they're going to be able to do to impact the economic circumstances when people head to the polls, because what's done is done. The border crisis, I agree with you, Zeet, that they're mishandling this by taking the exact page out of the Republican playbook and doubling down on it and calling it a crisis and villainizing and othering people that are crossing the border. And they're just going about it the wrong way. They really are. But it's because the fixes, and I think what I was really trying to get to in this series, which we've only done the first part of, what I'm really trying to get to is to demonstrate how the system from our side is broken in ways that we don't talk about, that there's we don't talk about the Clinton years. We don't talk about criminalizing people staying here for too long, that they basically criminalized the crossings that were very natural and necessary to the economy, and that we've created an incentive, a back-ass incentive for people to come into the country illegally. It makes more sense to do that. But we also have to talk about the circumstances below the border. Now, the Biden administration has quietly, they have a policy that they call the root causes policy, and they have been quietly going about trying to basically offer temporary aid to the economies in Latin America that are contributing to the crisis, to the border crisis the most. So we're talking about right now, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico, obviously, but Mexico's more fraught. Mexico's almost like it's an entirely different conversation. We talk about the Central American countries. We're talking about Honduras, Guatemala, Ecuador, and then in South America. We're talking about Venezuela. So those are the four flashpoints that are going on below the border. And the Biden administration actually has policy unfolding in those areas and some serious money going into these places. The problem is they're attacking the very surface level issues. And one of the stories that we shared in the members only newsletter was about is a 27-year-old mayor from Ecuador, is a young woman who's the youngest person ever elected to public office in Ecuador, was assassinated in her car. And this is yet another assassination of a public official in Ecuador. So it's a full-blown crisis that's sending aid to cover for, you know, for humanitarian purposes and to feed people and to give them more, you know, give the governments more security. You can't really clamp down on the cartels, the drug trafficking, and the rampant corruption that exists in some of these institutions. So you're pouring good money after bad in doing that. Now you have to do it, but it's got to be part of a broader policy initiative that does not exist, because there's no way that the Biden administration would be able to muster support for that in Congress with a divided Congress right now. And it's another reason to make sure that we have full Democratic control of both houses and the executive branch so that they can create a policy like that. But none of this is really being talked about. So what surfaces is Biden's asleep at the border and people are crossing, and then Trump gets to basically dictate the narrative on this one. And it's not working out for the Democrats, and it's not going to work out for them to try and be tougher on the border than the Republicans, because nobody's going to buy it. Just simply no one will believe it. And now Trump has the numbers. He didn't in the first couple of years of the Biden administration, but now he has the numbers to back it up and say, listen, now you have millions of people streaming across the border, which is a lot less than I had. And remember, when we did our original immigration episode, the numbers were pretty much the fucking same. The number of people that came across the border during the Trump years wasn't appreciably different than the years prior to him. So it's like we've manufactured this situation to reflect the narrative now, and Biden has just lost control. There's no way he puts this back into the bag, stuffs this back into the box by the election, which is why I say that they should be talking about abortion in every public policy statement that they make, on every campaign trail, everywhere, even in the reddest of states. You have to get women energized, even in the red states, to, even if it's not socially acceptable for women to talk about it in, you know, very clicky, very red, you know, places. I do believe that if that's top of mind, if you have a job, if you have a little bit of money in the bank, you feel a little bit secure, which is always the top reason for voting, then the one thing you want every single woman thinking about when she enters the voting booth is bodily autonomy.
Well, there are people who have uteruses and who can get pregnant who don't identify as women. And also
broadly women. 99% of the people that we're talking about right now are women. We need women to identify as such, because they're being identified as othered, as not people in this. They're pawns. And we need women to reclaim this. And I'm not talking about like there's no such thing as a birthing person. I'm just talking about when you're looking for numbers and you're looking for mass and you're looking for messaging, the Democrats can't fuck around with messaging right now. They have to specifically and explicitly say, women, please, when you go into the polls, remember that your daughters, your granddaughters, that the future is, because that's how people think.
I know. I just reject that, like, or I resent it that like we have to be distilled down into women. You know, because you're a woman, you should care, which, yes, obviously.
If the Democrats lead with a message that says all birthing people need to think about this when they enter the voting booth, they're going to lose the masses. That's what I'm saying.
I just resent the, you know, she's someone's daughter. It's like, well, no, I'm a fucking person. So.
Yeah, but you're a woman. They have to reclaim this, because they're losing the battle to the whole woke thing. They're losing the woke naming battle. So Democrats need to lean into this specifically just to salvage this very point. And I'm down with all of the other stuff. I'm down with the birthing person. I'm down with if you have a uterus. I'm down if you're just a regular human being that cares about bodily autonomy. The fact of the matter is that the men in this country clearly don't. They just don't. As much as the women who were able to deliver a midterm victory. And if the Democrats fuck around with messaging, they're going to lose the base in those red states as that person is thinking about, like, they have to connect somehow.
That's fine. I think I can still resent the fact that, you know, me as a woman, to get someone to see my worth, I have to be someone's daughter or maybe someone's mother.
Okay, forget about that. But just reclaiming the name woman, reclaiming that name with that word woman and the connecting women to bodily autonomy and reproductive rights and reproductive health. Like when we talked about the Women's March, we didn't make it like the person, you know, who identify as women march. Like solidarity with messaging is really important, and they don't have time to fuck around right now because there's too much at stake. Because they're going to try and pass a national abortion ban. And in the red states where it's already plausible, and in the purple states where it's already pending as legislation, if we lose state legislatures on this issue because we're trying too hard to craft a message, then we're gonna lose it. And I'm willing to say that all of the other shit that I care about has to go out the window to just focus on this one fucking message, because now you're out of time, right?
That's fair. It is emotionally more complicated for me because there are already people who are marginalized and who are going to be lost in that.
So,
and who are lost already in all representation in our culture.
Absolutely. And that's why the message that we've been trying to convey for the people like us, the progressives that are just so fucking done with the Democratic Party and just, you know, ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater and vote third party or stay home or do whatever, right? That the second message behind that has to be, you have to do this for the marginalized among us. You have to do this for the LGBTQ community. Like, you have to show up. There's no two ways about it. That's where I depart from, even though I may do what I'm going to do in the voting booth in a securely blue state, just to try and send a message, any message to the establishment that we're really unhappy with you. In the purple states, in the swing states, in all of the other states, we really need progressives to show up and still vote blue. And it's not a vote blue, no matter who. It's acknowledging that the other plan will have devastating consequences for the marginalized in this country. But we also need to understand that the masses that are not, they will not pay attention until September. They just don't. Like, that's when they tune in. And whatever message is prevailing at that time is the one that they're going to walk into the voting booth with. Now, if they have a job, then they'll listen to that message. If they don't have a job, you could fucking tell them anything. You could tell them that, like, we're going to land you on the moon with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, and it's going to be amazing and start a new colony. They're going to be like, I don't give a fuck. I'm out of work. Like, no message can overcome not having a job and not feeling secure. But whatever is happening in that person's life, we need them thinking about the abortion issue first and foremost, and we need women to show up, and we need progressives to fucking get out of our own way. Sad to say, right?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I know you don't love the framing.
It's not that I have trouble in general. I've basically like shed the moniker of woman because I just would rather be inclusive. So like whenever I'm writing, I will just rather say people than woman.
Yeah.
Which I guess isn't, I don't know if it's quote unquote right, or it's not that I don't want to erase anyone's womanhood. I just don't want to exclude anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I get very
that's
stuck
how language changes.
In that where yeah. I'm like, I identify as a woman, yes, but like I'm just a person, period. Like yeah. That's kind of how I've changed my thinking. So it's hard for me to like go backwards because mm-hmm. It feels very binary, and I'm trying to live outside the binary in that way.
Yeah. This from the person that thought I was going to get a rainbow dildo tattooed on my ass.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
That's very, I don't know, pride, ally.
that would be.
Yeah.
That would be. Yeah.
I'm a fierce ally. Fierce Brock ally. That's for my Drag Race fans out there. They might get that.
Barack?
No, like they had Obama? Like, it was like it was a terrible challenge, but they had the queens dress up as like different, I think they were like different fruits and vegetables. One of them was a broccoli head, and she said, I'm a fierce Brock ally. And I loved it in the word like ironically. So I think about it all the time. Fierce Brock ally. Like okay. Broccoli. Mm-hmm. Brock ally.
Yeah.
Brock ally.
Okay.
You got there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a fierce Brock ally.
Okay. Cool.
You should watch Drag Race.
I shouldn't.
Why? Don't be so dismissive.
I don't like reality shows of any stripe.
Fair. I'll take it. I was like, what are you going to say?
I like story.
Well, apparently Traitors is very good.
Well, listen, while you're on the broccoli, why don't you read this from Veggie?
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Veggie, because they're in Sweden. I don't know if they are Swedish, so I'm not sure. And this could just be their YouTube name. So, greetings from a college kid in Sweden. I've been trying to get a little more well-versed in American politics. This channel has been fantastic, so thank you for the great work.
You're welcome.
Regarding Project 2025, it really amazes me that the Democrats and their legacy media mouthpieces seem so hesitant to reference it by name. I've seen quite a bit from independent media. There has mostly been silence from the establishment. I genuinely wonder why Biden isn't out there hammering them on these issues and assuring Americans how he would do better instead of the vague, quote, threat to democracy line.
Yeah, the threat to democracy line ain't going to work because it didn't work the first time around. I couldn't agree more.
I don't think people even care if we have a democracy anymore.
Yeah, and you got people on the Republican base that they will answer the question saying, what's better for the country? I actually saw somebody answer this question. And, you know, 4 years of a dictatorship under Trump to get things straightened out or maintaining the democracy under anybody else. And they're like, oh, no, we definitely need a dictator right now to really straighten shit out. And I think in everybody's mind, they have this idea that, oh, I wish I could. Not everybody's mind. Maybe it's my own weird twisted fantasy. But, oh, if I could be a benevolent dictator for a minute and just make everything the way it's supposed to be, and then I'll hand the keys back to you and we'll go from there. That's like a fantasy for anybody. But in the twisted...
That's not my fantasy.
Fantasy for...
White men?
Is it? Yeah, maybe it's just a white...
I mean...
So a fantasy for white male podcasters. Yeah, definitely.
Because that would imply that I know how to fix everything, and I absolutely do not. Because if I knew how to fix my life...
So it's not even like going through the trouble of fixing it. It would be like, I'm going to be a dictator and everything that I say has to happen. So you're going to speak this way and you're going to dress this way and we're going to fucking do this and we're going to have this policy and we're going to stop. We're going to not have nuclear war anymore. We're going to.
Who's like, dressing differently?
I'm saying like from the most obscene to the.
Someone wearing like an I Heart Max like sweatshirt. Is that.
If everybody wore that, that'd be pretty great.
But what if they didn't heart you?
No, I'd make them because I'd be the dictator.
Just checking.
Right.
I didn't know if anyone had like a light free will.
Not in this scenario.
Okay.
So we could right the ship and then, okay, go from here because there's so much to be unwound. It makes people crazy, right?
Yeah, not my fantasy.
Okay. That's their fantasy. They think that Trump is actually going to make America great again. So they're living in that fantasy world where they think that, yeah, he will do that. So when you say save democracy, there are people on the other side being like, no, your democracy is so fucked up. And this is what Trump did so fucking well. Michael Moore keeps making this point, and he was right then and he's right now. What Trump does really well is he makes it an us versus them thing. He's still able to paint the picture of the political, corrupt establishment elites, even though he is one. He is the biggest example of one. It's like Hitler saying, I want only tall, blonde, blue-eyed, strapping, Aryan men in this world. And yet he was short, had oily black hair, a very strange mustache.
I almost just said, okay, we don't have to. And then I was like, wait a second, why am I defending him? I'm so used to being like, we don't have to go after people's physical characteristics, but you know, I'm going to let you have that one. You can call him oily hair.
He literally portrayed everything that he displayed none of the traits that he said we absolutely need to commit genocide in order to, right?
Hmm? He had that one.
He did. He was a man. He was a man. Was he?
I don't know. What are you asking me?
Do we really know that he was?
Do I know how I identified? I do not.
We don't, right?
I don't know if identity politics existed in his realm in that way. Well, they did.
He grew up a very sensitive person.
I know. We have more in common than I'd like. He's an artist.
Right.
He has Jewish ancestry, I believe. Yeah. He was a vegetarian, rumored.
Rumored.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Point being, Donald Trump is all those things. He represents exactly all the things that he's telling people, you know, not to believe in. But it's a message that resonates. So when we use it's a threat to democracy and the soul of the nation, it worked once because we were in the middle of it and everybody was so tired and it was a fucking pandemic. that's all behind us now.
No, people don't even remember.
All people remember now is in 2019, I had more money in the bank than I do now. As a matter of fucking fact, in 2021, I did too, because the government stimulus checks were flying and I think I was better off then than I am now, where everything is just hard again. It's just expensive and I lost my savings and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's whatever people feel in the fucking moment, and they're gonna misremember the past.
This is the whole Parks and Rec plot line where she asks people if they're better off, or Leslie does, and then they recall her, like, from her position on city council. So yeah. It's basically that.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what my fantasy is? Like, if you're talking about yours.
So it does not involve iHeartMax shirts?
I mean, I can put them in the merch store.
Okay.
You know, like, those memes that it's like, this is what the future would look like if this happened, and it's like flying cars and rainbows. Like, that's what I want. I want true utopia. That's what my fantasy is. I want, like sometimes I get really sad thinking about that we won't.
It's the same thing.
We won't have world peace and, like, people are hungry.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to have food and
that's the same
peace.
Thing. That's what I'm talking about when it, like, benevolent dictatorship for a day. It's like, no more starving people, no more billionaires. Gonna redo the tax code, gonna redo the legal system. We're gonna work toward utopia.
That's where we divert. I would rather the more skilled people handle that. So I would, you know, I don't need to be in charge of that. I just want the people who should be doing it to be doing it.
Okay.
So, like, I don't need to be involved.
You don't need a benevolent dictator.
No,
you just
need
the right
I,
people in charge.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Which is, like, what I think we should have on Earth, period.
Okay.
So, right. Yeah.
Like Bhutan.
Didn't we blow that off the map?
We did. New unfuckers won't know that we blew Bhutan off the map.
They might not even know what it is.
You should go back and check that out.
Yeah, I don't know what episode that was.
It's a long time ago.
I know. When I re-released this corporate irresponsibility, I was like, oh, there's a sketch in this.
Was there?
I think so.
Oh. I think there were actually two.
At least, I'm pretty sure I scrubbed through and there was. Full disclosure, I did not listen to both of them together because I just didn't have the time.
It's fair.
That's why I said, I hope I didn't say anything bad.
We lived
exactly.
Closing it out on the feedback, we've got the great friend of the show, Nathan Sirst. I'm glad you're finally balancing your criticism of Biden with the absolute terror of the other option. I know they like to point out that Democrats are just as bad, but the difference is the Democrats are not as passionate about it and the lack of organization to do the damage that Trump will reap. Thank you to new members and old members who have moved over to the membership platform. Remember, if you are still on the Buy Me a Coffee membership platform, it's fine. We would prefer that you come on over to unftr.com. And by the way, the tab is members. So if you go to unftr.com/memberships or go to unftr.com and just click on members in the navigation, you will get here anyway to take out your new membership. So cancel the one on Buy Me a Coffee. If you have any questions on how to do this, just email unftrpod@gmail.com. Hey, did we get that new email yet?
Yes.
We do? But does it go to the same place?
Yeah, so we just keep using the same email.
All right. And, but going forward, should we put that one out there?
Just think it'll
something
confuse people.
unftr.com?
I'm just not going to tell them.
All right. So.
one thing to remember. Remember okay. Too many things?
unftrpod@gmail.com.
There we go.
And 99 will help you sort through it if you're having any difficulty. But we want to thank Chris A., Glenn S., G. Rumbles, and Cringy for moving over. At Blaine Fowler, Pete M., and Dan C., some new, some old, who have transferred to the new membership platform. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Could not legitimately, seriously, truth be told, could not do this without you.
And your call to action this week is to become a member.
Yeah, do it.
That is the only thing. You don't have to do anything else this week.
You have to leave a review. You
don't, even tell them what they
the show.
Don't tell them what they don't have
do all
to do.
The other things.
No.
Let me tell you to just become a member.
Yes, become a member.
Go to unftr.com. Click on the member tab and do it. Okay?
Hey, would you be interested?
You're talking to me?
No.
You talking to me?
I ain't talking to you. Would you be interested in if you could buy a membership that was like for someone else? Would you be interested in that?
Gifting a membership?
Yeah. Would you be interested in that?
Can you make that happen?
Potentially.
Interesting.
So like, or even a stranger, if you're like, hey, would you do that? Would that be interesting to you?
I would.
Well, that's like recycling air in an airplane. It's your money. So I wouldn't. That's my money. Mm. But yeah, let me know. Would you do that?
Okay. Hey, Manny. Hope you're doing well.
Meow, 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 meow.
99. It's good to be in this room.
Yes, for the last time.
For our final show here.
It's served us well enough.
Absolutely.
I cried in here a few times when I was having a bad day. So
yeah,
I've taken therapy in here.
There's been
taken my psychiatry in here.
You will leave tear stains behind.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. See you later on, fuckers.
Bye.